Kendrick, Max said in a booming, hail fellow, well-met voice. He reserved for contract negotiations and elite models. We were about to send out a search party. Sorry, drawled a deep male voice behind her. Flat tire on East 54th Street. The number-crunching clock watcher. She barely suppressed a groan. If she hadn't stopped to kiss Max on the head, she'd be safely in the elevator and on her way home. No big deal. She'd turn, she'd smile politely at the poor dweeb in the doorway, and then excuse herself with dispatch. She turned around, she looked at him, and her entire life seemed to pass before her eyes. That was no dweeb. That was the Marlboro Man, in all of his untamed, uncivilized Wild West glory. Her jaw dropped open, and for a moment, she wondered if she'd need professional help to get it closed. The guy wore artfully faded jeans, a cream-colored sweater, and a leather jacket that looked as if it had a few stories to tell. Her gaze slid across his torso, down his long legs, to the boots. And not the kind of boots you'd find on some ersatz urban cowboy. These were the real thing. Tough, worn, sexy as hell. Same as the man who wore them. He was at least 6'4", and most of that was muscle. Hard, well-developed muscles, some of them in places she'd believed only Greek statues had muscles. Dark hair, green eyes, your basic Adonis. For a moment, she considered swooning, but thought better of it. This was the 21st century, after all. And modern women were supposed to take things like amazing male pulchritude in stride. He was the kind of guy you saw on the cover of a paperback historical romance, one of those perfect specimens that came complete with a bosomy blonde companion clutching at his manly chest. That couldn't be the clock watcher. Maybe he really was a cover model, and that was why he was looming in Max's doorway. If she could breathe at all, she'd breathe a sigh of relief. Max handled a few big-name romance authors, and he probably had a say in who posed for the covers. Riley McKendrick must be standing behind the Marlboro Man, hidden behind the cowboy's broad shoulders. You could hide a redwood tree behind those shoulders. Cat? Max's voice broke into her reverie. I want you to meet Riley McKendrick. She waited for a small, plain man to peer around the cowboy's shoulder, but none did. It can't be, she thought, heartbeat accelerating. It's just not possible. The cowboy smiled down at her. This was the man who watched clocks for a living? Men who looked like this guy did usually spent more time looking in the mirror. His teeth were white, shiny, and symmetrical. Instead of money, the tooth fairy had probably left porcelain veneers under his pillow. C.O. Low, McKendrick said, as her hand was swallowed up in his. I know your books. She nodded, aware that he'd said he knew her books, not that he either read and or liked them. My name's Kat. She managed, wishing she had more experience dealing with cowboy Adonises. And I'm not interested in getting organized. Blunt, but true.
That's what they all say.
I'm sure they do, she murmured as reason made a delayed return. But let me say it again. I don't know what Max promised you, but there's no deal. Not with me. Max popped up between them, a referee in Armani. Coffee, he said in an unnaturally cheerful voice. That's what we need, coffee. He looked toward McKendrick. How do you take it?
Talk about a loaded question.
A voluptuous shiver rose up from the soles of her feet, and she wondered if anyone would notice if she poured a pitcher of iced water over her head. Black, said the cowboy. No sugar. Cat? Max asked. With cream, Cat mumbled. Two sugars decaf.
Decaf? Asked McKendrick.
Well, what's wrong with decaf? She asked.
Most people drink coffee for the caffeine.
I drink it for the taste.
No taste in decaf.
That's why the cream and sugar.
That's illogical.
So, sue me. Max mumbled something, then vanished in search of refreshments. Cat considered the wisdom of following hard on his heels, but the cowboy barred the way.
So, what exactly do you have against organization?
McKendrick asked, bracing an arm against the door jamb. In for a penny, in for a pound. Organization is anathema to the creative spirit. Anathema, she thought with a grin. Let him chew on that for a while. He didn't bat an eye. Was it possible? Brawn and brains? Dangerous combination.
I've seen your office, he said. Your creative spirit better come with a roadmap.
What do you mean you've seen my office?
Max sent me pictures.